Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Martello Technologies Group fourth quarter and full year fiscal 2022 investor conference call. Today's call will provide information and commentary on financial results for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2022. We will hear from John Proctor, President and CEO of Martello, and Jim Clark, Martello's Chief Financial Officer. Following these remarks, John and Jim will take questions from analysts. If you have questions following the call, you can reach Martello at investor@martellotech.com. First, here are a couple of housekeeping notices. All participants are in listen-only mode for the duration of the call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and 0. This call is being recorded and we expect the recording will be available on Martello's website today. We remind you that today's remarks will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of Martello's news release, which is on their website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. We will begin with Martello CEO, John Proctor. John?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I hope you and your families are all keeping well. I am joined this morning by Jim Clark in his first quarterly earnings call as Martello's CFO, and I'm very grateful for Jim joining us. Jim brings to Martello over 25 years of senior financial and operational roles at some of the leading names in the tech industry. Welcome, Jim. Before turning to my recap of Q4 and the 2022 fiscal year, I wanted to briefly reiterate the three core components of our growth strategy. First, we aim to strengthen Martello's competitive advantage with expansion of our Vantage DX modern workplace optimization solution suite, which was only launched last fall. Second, we plan to expand sales channels for Vantage DX, including Microsoft Operator Connect partners such as Orange Business Systems, large global system integrators, and value-added resellers. And finally, we will continue to deliver Mitel Performance Analytics, or MPA, to Mitel. I'll speak a bit more about this in a few minutes and the recent extension of our contract with them as well. Since I spoke to you last in February, we've seen a number of important developments, and on this call, I want to follow up on a number of these, including the progress we are making with Microsoft and Orange partnerships. First, a brief but very relevant history. About 18 months ago, we made a strategic decision to focus the company and move aggressively into digital experience monitoring. We made our largest acquisition to date of GSX, a company that specialized in enterprise-grade digital experience monitoring for Microsoft. We believe that by combining this technology with some of our existing products and capabilities, we could build a comprehensive single platform SaaS solution for CIOs to monitor and manage the digital experience for employees using cloud business solutions from anywhere. And we started with the biggest, Microsoft. Vantage DX was the result. It is now one of the only solutions of its kind on the market and the only solution recommended by Microsoft to its customers. And I want to reinforce that. We are the only solution recommended by Microsoft to optimize the Microsoft modern workplace. The market responded positively to the launch, and our early indicators show that there is demand for this solution. This early Vantage DX momentum is now accelerating. In March 2022, the number of users in our trial pipeline had doubled to 1 million. And more than 200,000 users were under paid subscription. This is a mix of new customers and upgrades, but over half of the users currently in trial represent brand new customers to Martello. This gives us confidence that the solution has broad appeal. Our focus, as we begin fiscal 23, is on increasing the velocity of trials, converting to paid subscriptions. And we've taken a key action with the hiring of Jim as our CFO. Jim brings a strong track record of operational strength and excellence that will help us mature operations going forward. I will speak more about our outlook shortly after Jim provides a more detailed review of our financial performance in the fourth quarter and the 2022 fiscal year. Over to you, Jim.
Thanks, John. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning for my first earnings conference call as Martello's CFO. I will review the Q4 and full year fiscal 2022 financials in some depth in a moment, but first want to comment on my focus and perspective 2 months into the role. I am confident that Martello has brought to market a high demand product that will drive optimization of the user experience in the 270 million user and growing Microsoft Teams addressable audience. Management is currently constructing plans to increase the velocity and growth trajectory of recurring revenue. Concurrently, we are optimizing our cost base to enhance focus on operational excellence and accelerating time to positive cash flow. We will accelerate the conversion to revenue through a deep analysis of all functions within our value chain. Together, these actions will generate the opportunity for our clients and end users to realize optimal Microsoft 365 and Teams value. Now on to the financials. Revenues in fiscal 2022 reached $17.5 million, a 4% increase compared to $16.8 million in fiscal 2021. Q4 fiscal 2022 revenues decreased by 5% to $4.3 million from $4.5 million in the comparative period. On a constant currency basis, fiscal 2022 revenue grew by 10% compared to fiscal 2021. While Q4 fiscal 2022 revenue decreased 1% over the comparative period. Q4 growth in Martello's Microsoft Digital Experience Monitoring revenue was offset by a decrease in Mitel Performance Analytics subscriptions and expected decrease in revenue from two sunsetting legacy products and unfavorable currency exchange translation. Revenue quality was consistently high throughout fiscal 2022. Gross margin was 91% compared to 93% in fiscal 21. The recurring portion of fiscal 2022 total revenue remained strong at 98% compared to 97% in fiscal 2021. In Q4 fiscal 2022, the average monthly recurring revenue, or MRR, was $1.41 million compared to $1.47 million. The minor decline is attributable to unfavorable foreign currency conversion and decreased maintenance and support revenue on legacy products. The exit rate for MRR on a constant currency basis was $1.43 million, representing a 3% year-over-year increase. MRR, as a reminder, is a non-IFRS measure, and it represents an average monthly recurring revenue earned in a fiscal quarter. Microsoft Digital Experience Monitoring is now Martello's dominant revenue stream, making up 47% of total revenues in fiscal 2022, up from 41% in fiscal 2021, driven in part by the launch of Vantage DX in the third quarter of 2022. The remaining portions of total revenue in fiscal 2022 are Martell Performance Analytics, which represented 41%, and legacy products sitting at 12%. Operating expenses of $5.36 million in Q4 fiscal 2022 declined 10% compared to $5.96 million reported in Q4 of fiscal 2021. In fiscal 2022, total operating expenses were $21.72 million, an increase of $1.3 million or 6% compared to fiscal 2021. The increase is related to the reversal of previously implemented wage cuts, headcount increases in R&D and sales, and spend on marketing events. The Q4 fiscal 2022 net loss of $2.16 million compared to a net loss of $1.9 million in Q4 fiscal 2021 is due to a reduction in tax recoveries. Fiscal 2022 net loss of $8.22 million compared to $6.37 million in fiscal 2021. The increased net loss is due to higher operating expenses, hosting costs, and unfavorable foreign currency conversion. Adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS measure loss in Q4 2022, decreased to $830,000 compared to a loss of $985,000 in Q4 of fiscal 2021. This related to share-based compensation. The fiscal 2022 adjusted EBITDA loss was $2.86 million compared to a loss of $740,000 in fiscal 2021. Per the items I've just identified. The company's cash and short-term investments balance was $5.02 million at March 31st, 2022, compared to $8.52 million at March 31, 2021. The reduction in cash is primarily attributable to cash consumed in operations and the buyout of the warrants on the Vistara loan. Net working capital was $2.27 million March 31, 2022, compared to $4.5 million at March 31, 2021. The number of Microsoft users on Martello's digital experience monitoring platform increased year over year to 2.76 million compared to 2.67 million in Q4 of fiscal 2021. More than 200,000 of these users are Vantage DX subscribers. The company is focusing on driving Microsoft user growth through sales of Vantage DX. This includes upgrading Microsoft 365 monitoring customers and converting trials to paid subscriptions. I'll now hand it back to John to close with his perspective on Martello's outlook. John?
Thanks, Jim. As I said a few minutes ago, we're just a few quarters since the launch of Vantage DX and seeing good momentum behind our Microsoft Modern Workplace Optimization SaaS, with growth in paid users and trials and strong go-to-market and sales support from Microsoft. I mentioned the three core components of our growth strategy earlier, and I want to provide my perspective on our progress and outlook for each. First, our partnership with Microsoft. Martello is a highly engaged and fast-moving partner within the Microsoft ecosystem. We are helping Microsoft drive Teams adoption with Vantage DX, which is an absolute strategic priority for them. Working with one of the world's largest companies can take time, even for us, the most enthusiastic partner, but we are beginning to see results from our focus and drive to maximize the partnership. Engagement and activity with Microsoft have increased significantly in Q1, with new Microsoft contacts engaging with Martello every month, more co-sell calls on average each week, joint marketing activity, and a strong pipeline of sales opportunities. There are even two Microsoft partner development managers dedicated to Martello to make this relationship work. Second, our partnership with Orange and focus on Microsoft Operator Connect partners. Through our long-standing partnership with Mitel, Martello has developed expertise in managing the performance of voice calls. This has created a competitive differentiator for us as the popularity of Teams phone calls grow and Microsoft Operator Connect partners are providing the service. We are developing partnerships with Operator Connect partners like Orange, one of the world's largest telecom companies, and building unique capabilities in Vantage DX, such as support for session board and controllers to address this specific market. Finally, as many of you noticed recently, we signed a three-year extension with Mitel. MPA is important for Mitel's solution because it delivers simplified monitoring and performance management of the real-time communications networks Mitel's customers rely on every day, and it forms a solid $7 million annual recurring base upon which we can build further by driving more MPA adoption and finding opportunities for Vantage DX cross-selling. While we are seeing solid progress in all three pillars of our growth strategy, our Q4 performance was below our expectations. The sales cycle for a new software product that is sold into large enterprises is longer than other SaaS solutions. Though we have a healthy pipeline of companies trialing Vantage DX, the time to revenue is taking longer than we expected, something we are actively working to address, spearheaded with the hiring of Jim as CFO in May. The 40% year-over-year revenue growth in Microsoft DM revenue resulting from our investment in this segment and the launch of Vantage DX have been offset by the expected decline in our two legacy products. As a result, top-line growth from trial conversions may be delayed by a few quarters. On the positive side, the extension for our contract with Mitel suggests that these revenues could pick up some of that slack as Vantage DX momentum continues to grow. As Jim mentioned, management will be focused on optimizing our cost base and accelerating time to positive cash flow. We want to ensure investors and analysts that we are laser-focused on achieving the operational excellence efficiencies that will ensure we can exploit the demand of Vantage DX to scale our revenue. We have an installed base of 2.77 million Microsoft users, and based on the demand that I explained earlier, we are on track to reach 3.5 million users over the next few quarters. This timeline will be impacted by progress on accelerating our trials. In closing, I want to leave you with four key reasons that underpin our confidence. First, our increasing alignment with Microsoft. Second, the competitive differentiator we have in Microsoft Teams Voice and the large global Operator Connect partners such as Orange already engage with us. Third, a growing Vantage DX sales pipeline and an operational focus on accelerating conversion rates to paid subscription. And finally, our stable, continued relationship with Mitel supporting the $7 million recurring revenue base. All of our indicators tell us that the market needs Vantage DX, and we are well positioned for this growth. Jim and I are now here to answer your questions, and operator, would you please facilitate the Q&A part of this call?
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. Investors and analysts who wish to ask a question may press star, then one on their telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw from the question queue, please press star, then two. Once again, anyone on the conference call who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Kiran Srithran of Eight Capital. Please go ahead.
Morning, John and Jim.
Morning, Kiran.
Morning.
Wanted to start off by asking about the decrease in the Microsoft users this quarter. Would you account that to churn, or was there something else to call out here?
We're seeing some of these legacy, decreases. The growth really we're looking at is in the Vantage space, which is where, as I mentioned, those are the metrics that I'm really laser focused on tracking right now, is that Vantage DX. Do we see some of our legacy pieces still declining? Sure, but not in the Vantage. And I think the key here also is, we've got some clients who are transitioning from the legacy to Vantage, which is great. That obviously holds the numbers, but others are, declining the opportunity to renew, which is, in a tough economic time is not unexpected. But the nice thing also is we're seeing the Vantage pick up from not just Gizmo, which is what I expected. I was fairly confident we'd get the Gizmo transitions, but we've got a couple coming from both the legacy Live Maps and even from Domino, which, is almost a different part of the business. So again, it's kind of nice seeing those pieces come across. But yeah, we're seeing a little bit of a decline because of legacy, but the number that really I think we will show the growth of Vantage will be the numbers we see picking up into the new Vantage model, which really is what Microsoft is pitching, right? They're not interested in any of our sort of legacy pieces. They're really pitching this Vantage piece, which is where we'll see the growth.
Yes, that's helpful. Thanks. And on that, actually, last quarter you mentioned how Microsoft introduced you to a few telcos and enterprises. Can you give us more color on how these conversations have been going and if there's any further developments with that global managed partnership? And also, was the relationship with Orange as a result of this intro?
So multi-headed. So, yeah, I'll put some color on that. So, for example, one of the big sort of Canadian telcos had a very specific request for information around what we do, which we obviously replied to. At the speed of a telco, we're now on the third group of people we need to talk to within the telco to move that through. So it is a little bit frustrating, but these telcos do not move rapidly. So that's good for us. Orange was our own, so Microsoft supported it. And I will also color there, which is Microsoft is now supporting those calls into telcos. So we're having access into the telcos, which we didn't have before, which I'm hoping will accelerate those conversations. There was a Microsoft gentleman who was on a recent webinar of ours, who's very pro, he's a Microsoft employee, but he's working on with a number of the telcos on the Operator Connect side. He's a huge supporter of ours and is helping facilitate a number of these conversations. The Orange was one we'd already had in the pipe, but certainly having Microsoft backing, helped grease some of those conversations and got that going. So we're quite pleased with that. And the other piece here is the Orange machine isn't even turning yet, right? We literally have, we're just bolting that engine onto the airplane that is Martello. We haven't done any marketing with them yet. We haven't, we've got one deal in flight with them, which is great. But really, the engine is only just getting bolted on. So much as we're sort of, we've got the Microsoft engine spinning up, The Orange engine is bolted on and we haven't even started it yet. So there's more to do there. And again, you know, we are pushing as fast as we can, but these are big, big organizations. And as I kind of said in the call, you know, we're this really enthusiastic small company. We're going as fast as they will let us in many circumstances.
Thanks. Finally here, R&D and S&M was down sequentially. Would you call this more cost control efforts, or can we use Q4 as a run rate for the year?
Our R&D costs, in terms of a run rate, I would say at this time, you know, we're probably at the right run rate. There were some integration activities late last year on R&D, and I think that's gotten us into a more efficient cost base.
Great. Thanks, guys. We'll leave it to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Kieran.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Daniel Rosenberg of Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I just wanted to clarify on the 3.5 million user target. So is that a reiteration of previous statements around hitting the mark in the first half, or is that something that may extend into the second half of the year? What's kind of the exact target here?
Morning, Daniel. Yeah, no, it's a restatement of what we said before, right? This is what we expect to hit this year. You know, if we can accelerate some of these trials, we'll get there faster. But I'm comfortable we're on track to get that this year. You know, if I look at sort of where we are this year, and it's funny, we were sort of reflecting back sort of, you know, a couple of financial years. Where we are this year, you know, we've got, you know, the biggest funnel we've ever had in Martello's life. We've got more people in trial than we've ever had in our life. We've got, you know, this relationship with Microsoft, you know, now at a stage that's accelerating. I mentioned Orange hasn't taken off yet, so I'll focus on the Microsoft piece, which is accelerating. We've renewed Mitel. We're probably in a better position than we've been, you know, in the last couple of years. You know, revenue is up, not hugely, I get, but it's up. But certainly from a perspective, you know, with the funnel, the pipeline in that respect, the relationships, it's good. So that's why I'm comfortable coming down to say, you know, this is something we said we'll do before, and I'm very comfortable that we're going to do it. I just want to do it faster, and that's what we're going to push on in heading into FY23.
And then I missed the beginning of the call, but just wanted to revisit the user growth as it stands today. Were there any one-time impacts or seasonal implications that kind of affected your user growth as it stands today, kind of sequentially?
Interesting question. I mean, we don't see much seasonal. What is interesting, and again, it sort of comes back to, is the number of companies coming to us, and you've seen there's a case study out, which was the Berry and Rudd case study we pushed out. Then there was Vitrolife, which is another case study. What happened there, and again, it's kind of, if I look at seasonal, I'll use sort of the modern workplace as a sort of seasonal. As people are coming back to the office, I know that's seasonal, because I know in Toronto, people are heading out of the office again because it's the summer. But certainly from a seasonal perspective, when people are coming back to the office, companies are finding that Microsoft Office wasn't running as, you know, productively as they wanted it to do. So this is where they're putting us in, and I would urge everyone on the call to sort of, if they get the chance, to look at those recent case studies, or even go onto the website and look at our use cases. And those use cases are absolutely based on client experiences. You know, we didn't make those up. Those are based on that. And it comes back to your point of saying, as they're coming back to the office, they're finding the office environment network is not configured correctly for Office 365, and we can find that for them very quickly and help them maintain and monitor that and optimize that. So I think, you know, I like the word of your term seasonal. I think as we watch sort of how people return to office, will there be another COVID spike? I don't know. But as we see the sort of this, people call it flexible workspace or hybrid workspace, there's an expectation that people want the same Office 365 experience, be it SharePoint, Teams, or whatever, and that's not necessarily happening. And that's where they're coming to us. And we've got a number of folks like that that are doing trials at the moment. And to your, seasonality point, do we watch the summer? Yes, we will. We'll see what the summer happens because most of, we've got sort of big things in flight in Europe. But most people know that parts of Europe shut down at different stages over the summer, so we'll watch that. But overall, I think we will continue to see the growth and we'll continue to see that our overall user count grow.
And so maybe could you speak to the on-prem users? Have you seen acceleration and kind of churn that's going on there?
Daniel, I do like talking to you because you asked some very interesting questions. So that's, if I look at both the Office 365 and even Mitel, and I'll do the Mitel piece first and come back to Office 365. What is interesting is obviously is Mitel having sold their cloud business and now focused on the on-prem business. And what is interesting, we just won the Canadian part of a international retailer with Mitel. And they deliberately chose Mitel because they were on-prem. And their reasoning was we want resiliency and redundancy. If there's any network issues, we can still operate as a retailer because the phones will work. So, when we look at that saying, when I look at the on-prem business, everyone, I can remember being on these calls at the start of the pandemic and everyone goes, oh, you're tied to Martello, you're tied to Mitel, nobody will want on-prem phones, the sky is falling. And the answer is, Mitel got that, they understood it, and they rationalized, sold off their cloud business, and now they're going to dominate the on-prem business, which I think they can do extremely well, and we'll be along to support them doing that. And then the other side of the Office 365, and one thing we're looking at is, we effectively have an on-prem version and a cloud version of Vantage. What we're looking at is, the cloud version has a higher number of features. Just by the way it's developed and what we can do with it in the cloud, the on-prem version doesn't have as many features, and it actually takes a bit more work. So we actually are starting to price the on-prem version differently, and it comes with slightly less features. The idea also is to, convince customers to look at the cloud version as their priority. Some won't, and they will accept slightly less features, and they will select a slightly higher price because they want the sort of they're demanding the on-prem version, and that's fine. Just obviously, there's a development cost for us, which we need to make sure we are tracking between the two slightly different versions, although not completely different, but there are always nuances in that. Does that help, Daniel?
Somewhat, but effectively, what I'm driving at here is sequentially, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like user growth declined for the second quarter in a row. So I'm just trying to understand what are the drivers behind that.
Yeah, again, that's the legacy issues there is one thing. And again, as people sort of, as I said, there are some on-prem versions of our product with users that people didn't renew. And a lot of it is they didn't go for a competitor either, right? Some of these people are sort of, we're seeing these pieces where people are saying, no, my IT budget is too tight. I've been told to rationalize what I'm spending, and I don't have some of the concerns that I think I've been solving with your tool. The irony is some of them will come back to us as well and say, actually, now I can't see what I'm doing. We'd like to have a Vantage trial. So that is also what we're seeing as part of the economy. Is some of the IT teams out there are starting to sort of tighten their budget, and that's a consequence. And I know we're not the only software firm feeling that. We are doing it to our own suppliers as well. So I think that's part of this as well. But I do see as we move the cloud, and I do see as Microsoft push this Operator Connect, that will be where we will see the build. But we've always, you and I have talked about this before. We have always expected some of these legacy pieces will continue to decline, but the key for us is, and we will be sort of, making sure we are reporting very clearly on what the Vantage DX numbers are, is that's the piece that Microsoft is pulling into the market, and that's effectively where we will see the growth coming.
Okay, yep, that was messaged and understood. And so lastly, when you think about the dynamics, you mentioned kind of a record pipeline. We saw you have a couple very strong channel partners here. So the dynamic between legacy users and, these potentials in the pipeline, when do you think the inflection point comes that will return to user growth. Is that kind of immediate in the next quarter, or it might be lumpy as we look to the next four quarters?
I think, again, if you look at where Microsoft is taking us, it's into very large enterprise. So that always tends to be a company our size makes it a bit lumpy. And I think that's one of the issues at the moment is, we've got to start, there's a focus now with us, and we're already on it, of saying we've got to fill those sort of those in between the lumps with a smaller enterprise. And I think, this is where we're having these conversations with Microsoft. As you can imagine, when we start working with Microsoft, the first thing they want to do is put us into, get us into any of their flagship accounts that are having sort of productivity issues with Office 365, right? Not surprising, but those are big accounts, where, again, we will see, lumpy user count jumps, but they take time. As we start to get these relationships going and, starting to have more in-person contact with Microsoft, it means we start to get in contact with the smaller accounts, which will fill the gaps. So I think it'll smooth out throughout the quarter over the next this year. But certainly, I think you'll see a little bit of lumpiness with the large enterprises, which is where our focus is at the moment, thanks to Microsoft. But then we'll start to fill those in as the quarter and smooth that out. So that being go back to your sort of original question. Yeah, I think you'll see that sort of inflection point towards the middle of this financial year. And then you'll see that growth advantage. And as I said, we want to accelerate that as much as possible, and we're watching that very closely.
And maybe lastly for me, is there any numbers you could put around that pipeline, like the average enterprise customer, what that could mean for you? Are these kind of 10,000 user accounts or 50,000? Like, how would you categorize that pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, if I look at the user account, you're probably not, it's around sort of average, if I look at that sort of, 30 to 35,000 is kind of our average user count, at the moment. We do have a base price, right? If you're a small company, and we've got a couple of those, and some of the use cases are those smaller companies, which we went with quick, but we have a ceiling price. We can't go below based on hosting costs and all sorts of things, and they will tolerate that, right? That's the market will bear that we have a ceiling price. We can't go below. They will still pay it because it still gives them the value they want into their environment. So that's the part where we think we can focus a bit more. The other thing with those smaller accounts is some of them don't want to go to trial. They're willing to go straight into they see a demonstration. They're willing to go straight into purchase. So the time to revenue is much quicker for those guys. The bigger guys often want us to go through a trial period. They're much more complex. They've got a whole bunch of different applications running in there, security aspects, et cetera, which just sort of we have to fight through that noise to close the deal. So I think, as we move that forward, we will see sort of that user count probably stay there, mainly because, Microsoft is going to push on that. But I think, I want to see a bigger funnel at the smaller size just because they will go quicker. But you're seeing, as I said, average around 30 to 35,000 is our sort of average user count. We do go below it, but then there's a ceiling price that we don't go below.
Okay, thanks for that. And maybe I'll sneak one last one here for Jim, as we should hear have a question for him. On the balance sheet, so the cash position, I think you ended around $5 million. So in terms of managing burn rate and versus working capital needs, what's your characterization of the balance sheet and, ability to meet your operational needs with the balance sheet as it stands?
Yeah, Daniel, good question, and definitely a high focus area for myself, John, and the business. In my communication, we have absolute focus on this. We're working obviously with our primary lender. We have a facility in the wings, and we're going to be diving into operational excellence and really driving what we call positive cash flow. So we have absolute focus on getting to positive cash flow. As John mentioned, we need to accelerate the cycle through to bookings, and we need to look at our internal processes and make sure that we're very, very efficient. So great question. feeling confident that we have the resources required to meet the growth aspirations of the business, and it's certainly in progress.
Okay, thanks for that. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to John Proctor for closing remarks.
Thank you. And I just want to reiterate, as we said in our press release, the end of 22 fiscal year marked an inflection point for Martello towards an absolute focus on becoming a Microsoft Modern Workplace optimization leader. And as I said earlier on this call, we have never been in a stronger position to do that. We have, you know, higher revenues, bigger funnel, bigger pipeline. We've got stronger relationships with both Microsoft and, to a certain degree, Mitel than we've ever had. So I'm very confident in what we are doing and confident in FY23. As mentioned earlier, you can register to receive our upcoming newsletter in the investor section of our website, and the recording of today's call will be available on our website later today. You can reach out to our investor relations anytime by emailing investor@martellotech.com. Thank you for your time today and appreciate everyone attending the call. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.